Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Welcome to the Dog Pod, your home for fans of the University of Washington Huskies tackle football team. After a tough two-game slide to UCLA and ASU on the road, the Dogs got back on the right path with a 49-39 shootout win over Arizona. The air was smoky. The fans were distracted, and the offenses showed up to play, at least one side of it. Law Dog, should we get into this thing, man? What do you think?
Another shootout, BT. Let's talk about it. I mean, it was, the Husky defense gets off the field 3 and out on the first series. Who saw that coming, right?
I liked it.
Then 7 for 7, BT. 7 games this year, 7 touchdowns on the opening drive. This
amazing.
One just took 5 plays, Penix to McMillan. The Huskies get off the field again, forcing ASU to punt. And then this is where it kind of got interesting, right? Drive down the field, then down to the 19. They get to that 4th and 2-ish, long 1-ish.
Take the points. Take the points.
You know, it's starting to get to a point where I'm now kind of like, all right, this is a little bit too aggressive for even for me. You know, yeah. I think you're in a conference game, go up 10-0, like, because what happens next? Of course, Tua Papa, you know, comes up a little shy. Arizona goes right down the field in 4 plays, ties it up at 7. So great. We get the ball back. Penix is moving it, you know, with a big 45-yarder, Jalen Polk. They take the lead 14-7. And then, you know, ASU. Well, and then they tacked on the touchdown with Cam Davis, who is the goal line machine, right? That we all thought he was. They get Arizona 3 and out again. Then they come down the field again to the 19, and it's like, you didn't learn your lesson, BT. You're up 14-7.
Yeah. What are you doing?
You're on the 19-yard line. They give it to Cam Davis. This time in the short yard situation, they don't get it again and turn it over to Arizona. Now, Arizona kind of gifted it back to you here, because on 4th and 1, they kind of botched that fumble, and then the Huskies got the ball back, but they went 3 and out. And, you know, you just kind of, and very unusual 3 and out, I should say. But then, you know, you just get the feeling like Arizona shouldn't be in this game, right? And
yeah,
it's 14-7, and they have the ball. And what do they do?
Four plays
again. Jaden Delora torching this UW defense. They tie it up at 14. So, again, no problem. Husky offense gets the ball back. They drive down. This time Sam Adams gets his first touchdown.
Yeah, nice, Sam.
Right. And they take the lead 21-14, and that basically takes you to half. Huskies are getting the ball. Again, they go right down the field, score in just 2 plays here. Two to Roma Dunze, including a 45-yard touchdown where he juggles it there to go up 28-14. You got the sense maybe they'd start pulling away. But again, Arizona, 4 plays down the field for another touchdown. So it's 28-21. Then the Huskies, the pressure on this offense is incredible, right? But they get it. They rise to the occasion again. This time Penix runs it in. But he's meanwhile racking up a lot of passing yards, which we'll get to in a sec. But they're up 35-21. This time they're able to hold Arizona to a field goal. So they're up 35-24. And then at this point, you know, they get the ball back. Huskies are having no problem against this defense. Penix finds Rome for another 40-plus yard touchdown. This one is 48 yards. They go up 42-24. And BT, I have to be honest, at this point, I did go back to the tailgate to watch that Mariners playoff game.
Yeah, it's the time. I mean, I'll say this real quick note. I had an earpiece in. I was listening to it. There was a better crowd than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't good.
It was not great.
It was not great. But I thought we're talking 8,000 people in here. This is going to look like UCLA. It wasn't near that bad.
Yeah, no, that's true. And the fan, it's a couple points they broke away to show some plays. And I could tell you, in Club Husky, there was a huge mass of people around the big screens out there watching the Mariners game at this point in the game. So I ran out and I missed kind of the end here. But Arizona this time goes back 10 plays, 75 yards, scores again to cut it to 42-31. Then the Huskies miss a field goal.
Yeah.
Peyton Henry missing that 47-yarder. That's kind of right at that range we've talked about, right?
Yeah, this is why we don't go for it.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, but from the 19-yard line, it's a little different than the 30-yard line. But again, Arizona, 4 plays, 71 yards, cuts it to 42-39. I actually was like, should I go back in and watch this game? But the Huskies kind of ice it here with an 8-play, 75-yard drive, taking 4:21 off the clock. Cam Davis gets his third touchdown. Arizona does eventually miss a field goal kind of towards the end of the game, but that ends at 49-39. And you know, it felt right. It felt good to just get right at home. Arizona definitely putting up a lot of yards in garbage time, but putting up plenty of yards in regular time, BT. And this offense just has to carry the load the way this defense is playing.
Well, let's talk about that because records were broken. This was a historic day for the Husky offense, right?
Well, yeah. So Penix obviously breaking the single game passing record that was set by Cody Pickett back when I was in college, BT. But then also breaking Marcus Tuiasosopo's total offense record, 516 yards,
crazy,
4 touchdowns through the air, tacked on another one on the ground. I mean, you know, if this team maybe had squeaked out that ASU game, probably be in the rankings at this point, and Penix would still be in the Heisman discussion. So, I mean, you know, you're really only one possession away from that really taking hold. But I mean, I feel like we don't give enough love to Rome Odunze, and 9 catches, 169 yards in this game, 2 touchdowns. He's on the Athletic midseason All-American team. He's playing out of his mind, and Penix and Rome have a good thing going. A couple of really long touchdowns in this game. He's turning into a serious weapon. And then you add guys like Polk and McMillan. I mean, Ryan Grubb just has a ton of options to go to around here. So I think there's nothing but, you know, sunshine and rainbows when you're talking about this offense. The one caveat being, they just have not found their way on the ground. And I like the – I mean, we talked last week about, you know, Tuala Papa, you know, maybe not kind of being as productive as you were hoping he would be. And in this game, he only gets 10 carries and 18 yards. But he got that critical fourth down carry there in the first quarter.
Yeah, he gets catch.
But they gave Cam Davis the ball 8 times, scored 2 touchdowns, correction, but put up 40 yards. And then Sam Adams getting a lot of carries, six carries for 20 yards. So there, it seems like Tuala Papa, you know, he led the team in carries, but the committee is now out carrying him. So sure. I think maybe you could see a shift there that they're not liking what Tuala Papa is doing. And frankly, with this Arizona defense, like they were trying to attack them on the ground early. They just didn't really get it done. And I think that's something to keep an eye on, especially as you head into your tough part of your schedule here.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's a little concerning what Rome is doing. You know, we're at a point where you're having conversations about him with the likes of John Ross and Reggie. And like, do we go down, you know, Mario Bailey, do we go on the line? Now he only had one season. He's really only had one real season because last year was a wash. Excuse me. The year before was a wash, but he's one hell of a player. And it's pretty amazing to see. And you could say the same thing with Penix. Now, I don't know if we want to get, you know, and you said one possession away. We're one doink off of the back of Jackson Kirkland's helmet away from, you know, this being a different conversation. But the defense.
Yeah, I mean, the loss to UCLA is looking a lot better as they cruise 100%. Through their schedule. And
that's right.
So the ASU game is really the one that's going to stick out. I think that's going to be the one at the end of the year that we're just like, that was the dud that if we could have avoided, we would have had a different type of season.
Like, you know, Colorado last year, just pick your one, right?
I mean, it's always a dud. Always a dud.
Always a dud in there. You know, the defense, let's talk about them. You know, look, this is tough. They gave up 39 points, 525 yards, no picks. But they, I guess if you're looking for a silver lining, I mean, this is tough, particularly against an Arizona team who, you know, has an offense, but other teams that we would believe that were of the same caliber of have put them away in more convincing fashion. They got back to getting after the quarterback, 4 sacks, 2 on the final drive. The final drive was great. Delora, you know, and Delora's tough to get after, right? I thought
he was very elusive.
Very elusive. Always has been. Edges look okay. I like what Jeremiah did off the edge, pair of sacks for the new dad, had a new kid this week. And he led the team in tackles, but maybe, you know, ZTF, I thought, showed a little bit. But interior line, it's just not getting enough pressure, not getting enough contain. You know, Void Sanufi, I think he's probably playing better than I thought he was going to, but it's just not getting there. Linebackers, they're not able to slow the run. They can't cover crossing patterns. Perryman struggled in coverage. I was on the side where he got called for that PI where it was like you're basically the entire route turned around, back facing the quarterback, running downfield, pushing the receiver out of bounds on an island. Like, in what world is that anything but PI, right? I know Perryman's not healthy, but if he's the best that he can have and he's struggling, we haven't had the same secondary start a single game this year because of injury.
This is really tough. It's tough because you're trying to evaluate new coaches, and plus this has been death row, and the death row like trademark signature was this kind of elite secondary across the back end. And you know, we thought guys like Hampton, who missed this game because of an injury, would step up in his place. We thought hopefully a guy like Asa Turner would be coming along faster than he is. But also just a corner, you lost guys in the transfer portal. You just have not had the bodies at corner.
Nope.
And it just shows up.
They're going to have to hit it big time in the transfer portal next year. They're going to have to recruit it.
And on the trail, yeah.
You know, to get back to our winning ways. I mean, you can't like – It's weak analysis to go after DeBoer and say, oh, he's an offensive coach, because I think he's had success defensively otherwise. And it's probably, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of Husky fans who are calling for, you know, some DC heads. I think that's weak as well. Like, we've had injuries. We've had a secondary that was depleted by transfer and others. And, like, God bless anyone who stuck through this program after the Jimmy Lake era, right? It could have been a lot worse. But end of the day, look, it's a 49-39 win. It's a Husky
on homecoming.
Team on homecoming. That's right. It's a team that has 5 wins. It was like, I'm sure if most of you, you know, if you were asked, hey, the Huskies are 5-2 after homecoming, how do you feel after last year? Most people feel pretty good. I just don't think they thought we would have lost to you. If someone had then followed that up with, well, here's the state of ASU when you play them, and this is what happens, you don't feel good about that. But in general, like being 5-2 coming into this, I think you feel okay, and there's good trajectory. And we have a chance to get bowl eligible this week, man. Should we talk about Cal a little bit?
Yeah, no, let's do it.
Look at Cal. I mean, that's historical. We've played these fools 100 times. We've won 100 times. We've won way more than our fair share. And while we squeaked by last year 31-24 at home, you know, one of our few wins, we haven't won at Berkeley since 2017, including that memorable benching of Jake Browning at a pick off Jake Hayner in 2018. Sorry to bring that up, Husky.
You know, I got to be honest. I went through this week and I calculated that I've been to 36 Husky games away from Husky Stadium.
Ooh.
And I got to tell you, that Cal game is burned in my memory, like right at the top. It's right at the top of that list because of what it meant at the time. I mean, we thought we were going to be out of the Rose Bowl race. And then all of a sudden, that was kind of Black Saturday. Everybody else lost, and we kind of just held our position at the end of the night. But it was, I mean, standing there in that stadium that day, BT, it was absolutely brutal.
Absolutely tough. And I think probably a decision that Coach Pete would have wanted back now. And it's funny because at the time after that, you know, Hanner comes in, throws this pick, and you would have thought,
win the game 10-6, BT. Win the game 10-6.
Unreal. And like, but you know, I wouldn't have guessed that Hanner's become what he has.
Right.
At that time. You know, that he's bounced back in the way that he hasn't been such
a guy. I think he saw something in Hanner. Right. He kept that competition with Eason going. And I mean, by a lot of accounts, you know, Hayner deserved to win the job against Eason. It's just, I think Coach Peterson was in a tough spot where it's like, I got a local 5-star who transferred back here who blew up his career, and the fans are going to kill me if I don't make Eason the starter.
Yeah,
I think Peterson loved Jake Hayner. He wanted him some Jake Hayner, some Sparky ankle biter.
Talk to the current players who played with him.
Yeah.
They're going to tell you the same thing, that they loved him. You know, that he was like, you know, the kid was a stud, but that was a tough one. So we've had, you know, it's interesting, like pure domination of Cal through 2001. And then they went on a run against us. You know, fuck, who didn't? This is the, you know, the Willingham era. They went on a run against us, but we've had trouble in Berkeley before. We're about to see these guys.
Yeah. We won 19 in a row. Once Don James became the head coach, we went on a 19 game winning streak against Cal that ended in Neuheisel's last year, and I believe that was Tedford who ended it in Seattle, BT, 2002.
And interestingly, the team who gave us the biggest pushback run for our money in the national championship year in 1991 was Cal.
More than
Michigan, more than Nebraska, more than K-State, more than USC, more than anybody.
Cal team. And that's Bruce Snyder took that and went to Arizona State.
Yeah, crazy. Just absolutely nuts. But, hey, Cal's coming to town. I'll talk a little bit about this. I'm just going to talk about what I think we're going to see when we're on defense. And this, to me, look, this isn't Bear Ray. They bring a balanced run pass attack. They got the freshman Jay Knott, who I think is going to be a power in the Pac-12 for a few years. Bell cow backfield, right? But he's been held in check the last few games. 47 yards on 16 carries in Boulder. Jack Plummer struggled, 11th in the Pac-12 in quarterback rating. But he's got some nice weapons there, I think, with Jeremiah Hunter, real strong receiver. Something isn't working with them recently. It took them 40 minutes to score on Colorado. Receivers dropping passes. Look at the overtime, if you saw that game. Receivers dropping passes in the end zone, wide open left and right. I mean, this is a mess.
They're right? Battling. They're battling.
This is absolutely a mess. And, I mean, look at Colorado defense. They haven't held an opponent to 38 points all season, and they kept Cal to 13 in four quarters. And, look, I don't want to over-index on the last game and recency bias, and I'm sure they're going to come back after the Cal game looking like they have something to prove. But I'm just going to say this. Of this defense, who week after week, this Husky defense is – look, they're going to tell you the same thing. They're not performing to where we want them to be. They're not performing to where Husky expectations are. And they're basically saying, offense, if you don't give us 42, we don't have a shot here because we're giving up 38. If this Husky defense can't hold Cal in the teens, if not in the mid to low 20s, we got something wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, Musgrave, there are rumors swirling that he's going to get fired. Cal's already, I mean, Musgrave, he's only been there a year or two, right? I mean, they've already kind of been through. Wilcox has this reputation of like he's a defense-only coach essentially at this point. I mean, they haven't done anything other than Chase Garber's kind of miracle work that brought them a couple of victories over the last few years. They've really been a stagnant offense. So I think mm-hmm. this is a get right week for the Husky defense. I think we got to, if not now, then when on the rest of the schedule, because you got right after this, you're going into your bye week, then you're facing Oregon State. You're home, I believe, against Colorado, or no, you're going to Oregon, then you're home against Colorado, and then you're going on the road to the Apple Cup. So, I mean, you know, if not now, then when? Because the rest of the schedule is going to get tough.
Oh, it sure is. This is the week. This is the week, the no excuses week, where this D can shine, and I want to see it. But
yeah,
what do you think about the? You know, look at this Cal defense, and you said it's Wilcox. He knows the Huskies. He's had a number. Defensive minded coach. What are you seeing? What do you think our guys need to do?
Yeah. So I mean, he is a defensive-minded coach. His old buddy, Peter Sermon, who he brought with him to UW when he was named the coordinator here under Sarkisian, right? And Wilcox was the coordinator for a couple of years. He interviewed for the head coaching job. So, I mean, he was, you know, a big figure at UW when he was here. He turned around a defense that was really struggling. And, you know, now he's had Cal as a pretty solid, I think, defense over the last few years. You know, they basically held their lesser opponents in the out-of-conference schedule to 13 and 14 points. They were within a touchdown at Notre Dame on the road. Mm-hmm. They're kind of one outlier game, in my mind, was that Arizona game. They put up 49 points against Arizona.
Crazy.
But also yielded 31 points to Jaden Delora and company. So by that measure, you know, they probably have a slight advantage, but it's really, you know, and then they lost at Wazoo. They just have not played very well on the road. They're 3-0 at home, 0-3 on the road. And here they've got us in Berkeley, but then the Colorado game is just that outlier. It just doesn't make any sense, right? How did you lose to one of the worst teams in, I mean, college football right now, basically, right? And, you know, they also are second in the conference in turnover margin, so they're getting the ball, you know, quite a bit. They're middle of the pack when it comes to the red zone, but they're right up there on opponents on third down. Their scoring defense is only giving up less than 22 points a game. That's second in the conference. Only the Cougs are better than them, BT. And then yardage wise, they're really, I think their strength is really on the pass defense side.
Oh yeah.
On the rushing side, they're fourth in the conference. You know, I take that back. Sorry. The rushing defense, they're holding teams to 119 yards a game. That's fourth in the conference. But on the pass side, they're actually giving up just barely more yards than Washington is. So I think that's kind of one of those where you look at that and go, okay, this is an opportunity. Penix is going to be able to throw the ball around. But, I mean, we still have not performed very well on the road. And so I think that that's going to be what this comes down to, right? If this is your get-right game for your defense, it's got to happen on the road. If this is a game where you're hoping to exploit a secondary that's been a little leaky, even though they've been overall pretty solid, middle of the pack of the rest of the defense, rest of their statistics and whatnot. But when it comes to the passing defense, they've been a little leaky. So you know how DeBoer's going to want to attack them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think here's a point where you've got to put up some runs against a team that we have we've struggled against us. Let's get that running game going. It can't be a one-sided offense, I think, like we were versus Arizona. Let's make this thing happen, man. Come on. Get a win down in Berkeley.
Yeah, I mean, this hasn't historically been a terribly hard place for the Huskies to play. But, I mean, again, you mentioned there's been some heartbreakers, you know, and the one in 2018 really stands out, the 12-10 loss. Other than that, I mean, the team had won, you know, four straight in Berkeley since then. So, I mean, we know that there's not going to be much of a crowd there. And so it really comes down to your coaches and how well you're prepared, you're motivated for the game. I think this is an opportunity not only to get right for your defense, but just get right on the road. Build some confidence.
Heck yeah.
That you can win on the road because we've got a couple of pretty tough road games coming our way, and we don't want to be trying to get off the schneid when we go to Autzen Stadium.
No, yeah, and get to a point where like we just simply cannot win on the road, particularly against a lesser team, but just about lost to CU. Like at this point, you know, this is the time to show out and show that you can, you know, you can play on the road and that Kalen can get the team ready to go. But I want to see it. Have you? I don't know if you've seen this now, but let's get into it. So look, we're talking. This game is going to be one on the TV. You know, I've been out following the boys on the road, but this one we're going to be watching on TV. It's the late game, 7:30 ESPN, 5-2 UW, 3-3 Cal. You know what the line is? Guess that line for me. What do you say?
So I did actually see that this line was hovering, around 7.5.
7.5.
I got to say, I mean, that's pretty tough. But in the end, I actually do kind of like the Huskies in this case because I just think that they are going to put up a ton of points in this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one, and I haven't felt good, particularly since the UCLA game on betting on the dogs. But I feel like
I said I was going to stay away from the two touchdown lines. So
that's right.
I'll touch the one that's seven and a half.
You'll touch 7.5.
I'll touch seven and a half.
I get that. That's one I like to see. There. Let's talk about the rest of the Pac-12 schedule, though. I mean, watch the thing on TV. Let's get excited about it. I think the dogs have a good chance to get bowl eligible early, which is great, and then go on and do better things. Game day is going to be down in Eugene. Undefeated 6-0, number 9 UCLA at number 10 Oregon, 5-1, that one blemish being absolutely getting curb stomped by Georgia on Fox, 12:30 kick. What do you think the line is?
I think that's probably Oregon by 2.5, I'm going to say.
A little higher, so Oregon by 6.
Mm.
Too much for you?
I mean, I think they're at a point where they had that Georgia loss, which was just so embarrassing, not only for them, but for everybody who wears the Pac-12 banner, right? And other than that, they have not beaten that much. I mean, you know, I think that this is they haven't beaten anybody really that notable, in my opinion. So, they are coming off a bye. They are at home. I get why it's six points. But, you know, I think it's going to be a little closer than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'd go with UCLA on this one. I think it's either going to be UCLA win or it's going to be close. Maybe it's a field goal. But all eyes are going to be on that. Game day is going to be there. You're all going to want to vomit as Husky fans as you watch the cavalcade of Lee Corso's and others riding motorcycles into.
And a heavy rainstorm, a much needed heavy rainstorm headed for the Pacific Northwest. Chip Kelly was squirting UCLA players with water bottles, I saw. It's just like, really?
God. That's the best I can do. That's where the budget
is. It's not the rain in your face on a particular play, Chip. It's the fact that you have to stand out in it for 4 hours.
You sit on there.
That's what sucks about
it. Your team doesn't even want to be there at that point. And of course, it wouldn't be the Pac-12 Network if we didn't start a game that directly competes with that at 1 p.m. on Pac-12 Network. Arizona State 2-4 against Stanford 2-4 in this turd fest. Guess the line for me. What do you think?
And this is at Stanford?
This is at Stanford.
I'm going to go Stanford by 3.
Ooh, ding, 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 ding. Stanford 2.5.
All right.
Yeah, Stanford 2.5. This one's tough. Give me Stanford at home. I don't know on this one. I can't tell if ASU is for real or we just crap the bed.
I think they're going to have a little bit of a rude awakening getting on the road, you know. I don't think much of this ASU team. But then again, you know, I think they've got that motivating, like we talked about, right? They've got the nobody believes in us kind of thing going for them. Yeah, they're coming off a bye. They're going down the road. I mean, I think they're going to have a rude awakening on the road at the farm. I don't think it's going to be an easy game. So I'll take Stanford too.
Okay. All right. Well, your last one of the night, and this is going to be the late night game. I mean, as late as it gets, it's kind of surprising me. They're like 5 p.m. local time, and that's as late as we get with only 8 teams playing this week. Colorado 1-5, the only victory coming against our boys at Cal, who we're going down to see. 1-5 Colorado at 5-2 Oregon State. Pac-12 Network, guess the line.
I'm going to say the Beavers by 14.5.
I knew you were going to go low. 23.5, Beavs.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, I think Vegas is kind of like, hey, Colorado, congratulations on that win. We still think you're dog shit, and so we're just going to keep setting the lines like you're dog shit. And frankly, like...
That's right.
Give me the Beavs, whatever. It's in Corvallis. I'll take the Beavs on that one.
I love it. Yeah, it's... I mean, that's a big, big line, but it's going to be Beavs by 24+. Well, look, there's a great week of Pac-12 action that's coming up, and the big one, I think, with the Dogs playing the Saturday night super late game, 7:30 on ESPN. Which is going to get a lot of eyeballs across the country. And let's hope that the Dogs show out, kind of show what they can do, and finally have this defense holding opponents where they should be. But I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be.
Yeah, no, I think this is a huge, this is huge, I think, for the Huskies. Basically, you know, they like I just said about Cal, right? 3-0 at home, 0-3 on the road. That's just not how it kind of goes in a season. You know, teams are going to figure out. Now we've been on the road a couple times. I think we're going to be ready for this. I hope that we are. But then, you know, I look at Justin Wilcox and I go, he is a solid coach. He's going to have his team prepared. The question is, he has really matched up well with the Chris Peterson and Jimmy Lake coaching staffs. This is something just completely different, you know. And what Grubb and DeBoer do, you know, is they just find whoever that signal caller is on the other side. And they're just like, okay, we're just going to completely screw, like just fuck with that guy basically. Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's something a little different than what Cal's been seeing out of UW, where they've played us really tough in these defensive battles over the last, you know, 4 or 5 seasons, I'd say. I mean, there hasn't been more than, I guess the last year it was an overtime, but 30, you know, Washington scored 31 points. Other than that, nobody's put up more than 24 points in the last 3 matchups. So, I mean, that's going to change.
100% that we're going to see. And I think a lot of it, you're right. You're bringing a good point. It's like, that's where Wilcox has had the number, is that he was like lived within this, you know, within this coaching tree. And now it's a completely new coaching tree where he doesn't have any type of advantage there. So,
yeah, I think the Huskies are going to put up a lot of points. They're going to move the ball pretty easily because they've done that against everybody who, you know, isn't basically, you know, UCLA this season. Yeah. So I think that they're going to move the ball at will. The question is, can this defense get a few stops, build some confidence over what they did against Arizona, and take it on the, take their show on the road?
Yeah, that's right. That's what we need to see. Look, dogs, pull it together this week. Let's cover that spread. Let's make it a just for our own hearts, make it a convincing victory. But at Cal in Berkeley, Southern California faithful, Northern California faithful, make that drive over to Berkeley. Make this thing happen. Let's get some dogs in the fan. And can I get a win, huh? Go dogs.
Oof.
Let's do it. Oof.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.